Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Okay, so I hope you all wore your joggers and running shoes. No, I'm not going to make you run, it's fine. But if I could just get, once she sits down, I get my trusty assistant up. We'll just wait so our Facebook viewers can join us. Do an Irish jig. Awesome. So today, I just want to show you what living a life to God is about. So I have some money. Who likes money? Everyone? Yeah, good. Finally. That's what you reckon. Hang on. We're not done yet. All right. So first off, so this is what we you can sit down. This is what we believe. When we become Christians, we think this is how life is. Congratulations. Welcome to Christianity. And we go, yay, that was, well, it was easy, wasn't it? It was simple. You didn't have to do anything. All right, there. We asked for more. But this is what it's really like. Congratulations. Welcome to Christianity. Come and get the 50. Now go back and do it on one leg. Now come and get the 50 on one leg. So that's what Christianity is actually like. It's not simple. It's not easy. So, you can give that back to Nen. Give that back to Nen. Anyway, thank you for that. That's all I... Yeah, you can take the chair. That's all I just wanted to show you, give you a brief... thing there. So today I'm going to be talking a bit on comfortable Christianity. Now, that second part, Mum, did that feel uncomfortable? It was uncomfortable, wasn't it? But you got a bigger reward for it being uncomfortable. Not much. All right. There we go. So she got a bigger reward for it being uncomfortable. What if it was a life? What if it was a salvation? A salvation is like that $50. There's obstacles. We don't want to do it. We don't want to get there because it's so difficult to get there and it's uncomfortable, but there's a bigger reward. It's a kingdom reward. We get another salvation in the house of God. We get another person. You know, a comfortable Christianity is when we sit here and go, oh, geez, yeah, bad stuff going on in the world. And we don't do anything about it. We don't change anything. We can't just sit and believe that the world's going to get better. In James 2 verse 17, if you have your Bibles, and we all know the verse. I'll just get my sparkly Bible going. My sparkly Bible. Because if you do it at night, it all sparkles. So, so we're going to go. So James 2 verse 17. And now I'll just read it here. So it says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Let's read it one more time. I lost it. I found it. In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. That's talking about being uncomfortable. You go out of your comfort zone to reach the lost. Most of the time, you're not going to get a salvation by just saying, oh, I hope a salvation happens. It's up to us. It's up to us. We have to shine our light. We have to go out into the world and say, hey, mate, you know, I know something's been going on this week in your life. Do you want me to talk you through it? Hey, do you know about Jesus? You know, we have to be the people that do that. And it comes back to freedom. And freedom is our topic tonight, God. Freedom is our topic today. Yeah, all day. We're going all day. That's it. So I've just got here. So I love the word freedom because there's so many forms of freedom. You know, you go to America and they've got the Statue of Liberty, right? Now, I think all of you know that liberty means freedom. It's another word for freedom, right? And to me, when I think of the Statue of Liberty, I think of a guard. I think of an angel in Christian circles. Someone who's guarding that city is a Statue of Liberty, a Statue of Freedom. And we have that in church, in our lives, church. We all have stories of freedom as well. You know, we've all been set free from certain things. You know, I've got friends that have been set free from addiction. I've got friends that have been set free from toxic relationships, from toxic friendships. We've all experienced that and we've all been there. And freedom makes you feel so much better about yourself as well, doesn't it? When you realize that you've been set free. When you actually realize that. I've got a personal story I'd like to share. And, you know, I needed to be set free. I always grew up in a Christian household with Christian influences and all of that sort of stuff. But once I turned 18, you know, I started working in a club. I left school, I finished school, I graduated, but I didn't have really Christian influences around me much anymore, apart from my parents and my family. And, you know, I used to just hang out with all my worldly friends and, you know, like they knew I was a Christian, but it was still hard. It was still hard because it would be like, oh yeah, you know, party on a Saturday night, church on a Sunday. And you know, my friends would be like, oh, we'll party on a Saturday night and, you know, just sleep in on Sunday and we'll grab lunch on Sunday afternoon and all that sort of stuff. And sometimes that used to happen. And I struggled with toxic friendships. I had toxic friendships where my friends were trying to take over my church time. And, you know, we can have church time in our everyday life. It doesn't have to be on Sunday. It can be on a Monday. It can be on a Thursday. But for me, Sunday was church. Sunday was my day of rest, my church day. And those friendships started taking away from that. But I had to really dig deep in myself and say, do I want to impact these guys and still be in the kingdom? And so I had to be set free from the toxic friendships of going, all right, guys, that's great that you're doing that on a Saturday night. I'm probably not going to. You know, I'm going to make a better choice to either stay at home that night or, you know, do something else, spend time with my family. That way my kingdom life wasn't affected. Your kingdom life will still be affected, church, by certain things. But with God, it's always better. It's always better. As you saw before, there's still obstacles. There's still things in life that are going to stop you. Or as I like to say, slow down, because we don't want to be stopped, do we? So that was just a little story. You know, addiction is not always drugs, alcohol, pornography, the things we think, you know, oh, these are the main addictions. You know, an addiction can be food. It's my addiction. Sugar. Oh, love sugar. I think cake's my addiction. But, you know, things like that can still be addictions. TV, sports, not really, but, you know. Sport, you know, it can be an addiction. If you give too much of yourself to something other than God, it can be an addiction. Why don't we get addicted to God? Why don't we get addicted to Him? That's a good addiction. It's not a bad one. So you may be addicted to something that you actually didn't know. You know, you could be hanging out at something you do regularly and then, you know, you're now thinking about it and going, oh, wow, like, you know, I didn't know I had that addiction. And look, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you know, you're a bad person because you have addiction. Everybody has addiction. Everyone has it. Everybody is addicted to something. I'm just trying to give you a platform to think about it. You know, when as Christians, we have that conscience. We have that little voice inside that says, don't think you should do that. And we go, oh, it's all right. And then 5 minutes later, we hear, I don't think you should do that. And we never know what it is. We usually think it's the devil. I think he's trying to stop me from having fun. But it's not. It's our conscience of God. It's God saying, you know, what you're doing is going to impact your life in the future and not for the good. But if we get addicted to Jesus, our life increases in the future. You know, we realize that, you know, when we read his word, we go, okay, I can see here, you know, I'm addicted to his word. I'm addicted to what God has for me. And then we can impact others. We can help others with what they're going through, with their addictions. I've said it before, but your weakness becomes your strength. What you struggle in will help other people. I'm actually going a bit off track off my notes, so just bear with me. But it's good. Like, you know, you just sometimes you just have to be led by what God tells you. It's really funny because on Friday night we had our worship and teaching night, and I started writing this last week. Mum was home and we're listening to worship music, and I was writing it, and you know, they were like, oh, you know, the topic's freedom and everything, but God was really talking to me about being radical, about not being the comfortable Christians that we are, you know. And I'm going, oh, and I really had this, you know, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. I was like, oh, do I just talk about that another time? I don't want to talk about it another time. I want to talk about it now. You got to know now, not in the future. You know, we need to live in the now, which stands for no opportunities wasted. No opportunities wasted. You know, there's people out there now struggling. They're not struggling tomorrow. They're struggling right now. Yeah, that's it. And when we were at the worship and teaching night, you know, Dad said about, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that's one of my verses. So I had actually written that, and then he said it, and I was like, wow, like, it's just amazing how God will work. He will give you the same scripture to confirm what you're feeling and what you're saying. So if we actually turn to our Bibles in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17. And we'll actually read that out because I think it's so important. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In mine it says freedom. There is freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is. And the Spirit of the Lord is not just in this building. It's not just in church. It's not in these four walls. You can get the Spirit of God at home. The Spirit of God can come to you in your workplace. I mean, if you get the laughs like I do, try not too much in your workplace, because people sort of stare at you funny and go, oh, mate, we'll send you home because I think you're on an addiction. And yeah, so, but the Spirit of the Lord is everywhere, church. If we believe in God, we believe in the Spirit. It's the Trinity. They're three in one. I want to share a sports story, which probably surprises you all. Not really. I have a lot of sporting analogies when I preach, because I actually really love it, because it's worldly, but these sporting stories always tie in. They always tie in, and it shows that everybody struggles with the same thing. Everyone, not just Christians, not just the world, but everyone. And so this story is actually about Nathan Hindmarsh, who was the former Parramatta Eels captain back in the day, a representative player, played New South Wales and for Australia. And I'll just find where it is. Here it is. So Hindy had a gambling addiction, and it was actually covered up for quite a few years. The addiction went for about 6 years itself before he sought professional help. And he talks about it in his book, and he says that you know, he, at first it was just fun. And that's how addiction works, church. At first it was just fun. At first it was like, oh, it won't hurt me. You know, I'll just play a couple of games here and there. But as the days went on, you know, he started to win. And I was like, oh, I'm actually quite good at this. And now I worked in a club, and I can tell you, poker machines are random. And nobody knows when they're going to pay out. Yeah, the club wins. It's true. Sorry to break all the secrets there. But, you know, he kept playing. And then, you know, his mates would sit with him, and they didn't really think anything of it because, you know, he wasn't lashing out irrationally. He wasn't showing signs that, you know, oh, this guy's addicted to gambling. And that's how it works. Sometimes you're not showing outward signs that you are addicted to something. Internally, you might be addicted to this thing and it's been holding on to your life for years and you can't break it. But on the outside, everyone thinks, you know, you're fantastic, you know, nothing wrong with you. You're putting on your church face. Obviously, he didn't put on his church face, but, you know, so he battled with this for 6 years and he kept it quiet, but it was becoming extremely unhealthy. And although it didn't have a direct effect on his footy, it was his life off the field. At this time, he wasn't married. He didn't have children. So it was a good part because, you know, I've worked in it, you know, and I've seen it. And I've seen guys who have had families and they come in and, you know, they start playing. And a great analogy we had is, you know, a guy will come in a suit, right? Businessman. Comes in a suit, starts playing. You know, next week he'll come in and, you know, he's just got his business shirt on, no suit jacket. The next week he comes in, you know, he's just wearing t-shirt and jeans. 6 months later, he can't even play the pokies because he doesn't have money left. And we used to get that analogy when I actually worked in the club about someone who is addicted to gambling. Sometimes you can see that by how they dress and what they've lost. You know, and they always shared that analogy with us of like a businessman who started, you know, he's very successful in a suit. In 6 months' time, he's played the pokies that whole time and he now has nothing. You know, he's neglected his family, he's neglected his kids. You know, all he does is spend his time on that. So at least he didn't have a family at the time, but it affected him outside. He continued with his addiction, sometimes blowing 1,000 a night. And in the end, he blew over 200,000. At the time, he was the captain of Parramatta. The captain. He was playing for New South Wales. He was representing Australia. But who knows, it doesn't matter how good someone's life seems. It doesn't matter. You know, we often try to compare ourselves and we go, oh, that person's got it all. That person has got it all and I have nothing. And that's not true. That's not true, church. Someone, they might look, like I just said, they might look like they've got it all, but internally they are struggling big time. And all they need is a friend. All they need is a Christian who wants to shine their light and not be comfortable. A Christian who wants to be uncomfortable and say, well, you know what? You're struggling with that. So did I. So let me help you. Let me tell you about this man named Jesus who died for us. Not me. It's never about me. It's about others. You know, we went to a meeting the other day where we heard from Denny Guglielmucci. Is that how you say it? Guglielmucci. Awesome man of God. And he shared on that. He shared how the kingdom is not for us ourselves. The kingdom is for others. Like, we can't have a selfish attitude towards the kingdom of God. We can't say, oh, yeah, you know, like, I get to preach this week. How good's that? The reason I'm doing it is because I want people to be impacted. I want people who have struggled with addiction and struggled with things in their life to go, I don't need to struggle anymore. And I'm not doing it for me. And he shared that and it was just amazing because he's had a really hard life, a really hard life. He's seen some things and he's been through some things. And you know what? He still looks in God, and he still declares his love to everyone. He still preaches that God is the way, the truth, and the life. So, in the, just finishing up, in the end of that story with Hindmarsh, he ended up, it took 6 years, and yeah, he blew 200,000. And he eventually, it got to the stage where one of his actually, his other players, because he used to, when it got later in, so about 3-4 years in, he would be doing it outside of footy, and the boys would go and hang with him, and sometimes he'd start to snap at them. You know, they'd crack a joke about, oh, mate, like, you know, throwing a couple of 50s in there, and he'd start to snap. You know, he'd start to get really angry and aggressive towards them. And so it didn't affect his footy, but outside it was affecting his friendships. It was affecting his friendships. It was affecting his personal life. But in the end, he got professional help and hasn't touched it since. So that's, you know, that's amazing. But yeah, I just want to speak from Colossians 3 verse 15 now, if you have your Bibles. Go to Colossians. So it's 4 after Corinthians. And so it's Colossians 3 verse 15. Now it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. It's funny, when I actually wrote this message, that was the verse of the day. And I was like, wow, because I really believe that freedom and peace go together. Freedom and peace go together, church. When you get set free, you feel peace. You feel his love. So we need to be thankful for your lives, be thankful for your family, for a roof over your head, for the food you get to not enjoy or not like. You know, you go, oh, geez, I don't like Brussels sprouts. There's people out there that can't even eat Brussels sprouts. They don't even get given food at all. You know, and we take everything we've got and we go, oh, yeah, I don't enjoy that. And again, it comes back to comfortable Christianity and freedom. We need to be uncomfortable. We need to go, okay, let's go change the world. Let's go fix poverty. And poverty's never going to be 100% fixed, is it? But we can start with us. We can do something. We can sponsor World Vision. We can do that. We've been sponsoring World Vision for years, and we've just gotten a second sponsored child after our other sponsored child. How old did he turn? 18, and was able to look after himself. But it's amazing how those kids are so thankful. They are so thankful for what they don't have. Our sponsored child used to write us letters all the time, thanking us for putting money in. And we can do that, church. You know, we can't just sit here and believe the world's going to get better. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with belief and faith, but without works, it's dead. Without works, it is dead. So I believe that freedom is really a God thing. I believe that the Statue of Liberty I talked about was actually a God thing. I believe God has a really good sense of humor, and I think he sort of put the name into the hearts of the guys when they were making it and said, you know, how about Liberty? And, you know, I think that's where God's sense of humor is. You know, that's looking over that city. And God looks over our city. He looks over our city. He's our Statue of Liberty. Obviously, don't call him that. I mean, it'd be a bit strange. But, you know, but he's our Statue of Liberty. And, you know, his freedom is in the world. It's in the lowest of lows. His freedom is still in the dark places. You know, I've heard plenty of stories. And people in this church I've heard stories from, you know, about what we've struggled with. And even our church as a whole, everything that's been going on, it doesn't matter. Because there is freedom. There is freedom. We don't come to church and condemn people. We don't come to church and not let people be who they want to be. You can be whoever you want to be here. And it doesn't matter because there's freedom. There's love. And that's what freedom is. Freedom is peace. It's love. It all ties in. So the world is lost, church, and there are people out there who are needing to be set free. There are still people who don't know God, and they need to be set free from the bondage of their life. So we need to shine our light so that all may see and come to know him. That's what we're called for. That's what we're called for. You know, you listen to the story of Gideon. Gideon didn't have courage. God said, you're the one I want to do it. He didn't call anybody else, did he? He called Gideon. We're all Gideons. We don't feel like doing it, but God's calling us to do it. He's not calling the person next to you. He's calling them for their own calling. So we're called to reach the lost and the broken. And you know what I love about our church is we're genuine. We're genuine people. You know, we have great hearts. We believe for each other. But we need to be a people of change today, church. So let's change our own lives first. Let's work on things in our lives, our addictions, our toxic friendships that have been holding us back. And let's get addicted to God. Let's get addicted to Jesus and his word and his breath and his life. And then let's help others. Help others to overcome their issues. Because what we don't want is for people to feel so angry at the church and at God. And we see it all the time. People go, oh, well, the world's in chaos and God won't fix it. Or God hasn't fixed it. What's he doing? If God's real, why doesn't he fix it? And we need to explain to people, church, you know, we need to show love and show them that Jesus is there. Jesus is real. Yes, we were given free will and we wrecked it. He didn't wreck it. We wrecked it because of the free will. We need to help other people, church. So today, if you're struggling, I'd just like to pray for you to show you God's love over your life. Even to our Facebook friends out there, know that he's there supporting you along your journey and will always be there. There is freedom in his name and we need to declare that in our lives. You can be set free today, church, from any addiction, from any toxic friendship, from any abusive relationship. So I want to pray for you. So just as I finish up, we'll open up the altar if anybody wants to come down and we'll do that. But I'll just finish in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this time today with you. I thank you that we get to come and celebrate who you are, that we get to come and celebrate our lives because of what you did. Jesus, I just pray today that you give us the courage to step out, that you give us the courage to be uncomfortable. Jesus, I really pray today that you don't make us scared and make us think that we can't achieve what we want to achieve, that we can't do anything, because with your love and your freedom, we can. And God, we just pray for the Spirit today, God, the Spirit to fill the hearts and people here. And we just pray that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we just pray for your Spirit today, God, fill their hearts. And we pray for anyone struggling today, Lord, with addiction and everything we've spoken about today. We pray that you just get rid of it. Just get rid of it right now in your name. That these people would just feel so much better, that they will be set free, that they can then be on fire for you, Lord. We thank you in your name. Amen. So thank you for listening to me today. We're going to have some morning tea, so go.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.